Coming up on TMS, saw Solo in a quattro.
More like Hall of Flame.
Because it rhymes. What would Jesus fly?
Should be Hall of Lame. How to get people off Pornhub.
Do not roast marshmallows there.
Tom's Tech Time.
Recommendals and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
Never forget the duty of an American. I pay taxes, work, and I always vote. I fight for freedom of this country. This fight is for Japan. For friendship.
When fights get hot, I may undress.
The Morning Stream. The Morning Stream. The Morning Stream.
The Morning Stream. The Cavalry's here.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to The Morning Stream. It's Wednesday, May 30th, 2018. I'm Scott Johnson. That guy right there is Brian Ebert.
That is exactly right. Brian Both of those Ebert. Things. 100% accurate.
Yeah, I feel like we've... If we're anything on this show, we're truthful. And yes.
Now tell me where that those video game voiceover audio, wasn't it?
Yep, and that is a a collection called, let me find it right here. This is there's this really old website that looks like it was made in like the freaking 90s that puts together what they call audio atrocities. It's all video game sort of atrocities, right? Mm-hmm. So for example, if I click this one for Tenchu Stealth Assassins, this is just a random clip. Let's see what we get.
Okay.
Please forgive my late arrival.
No, you have done well.
That guy, okay?
That's awesome. You have done well.
So it's all like mid to late 90s horrible VO work that's usually done for stuff that's brought over from Japan. Things were different then. Like, ask Liam O'Brien, he'll tell you stories. Like, the 90s were a dark time for getting that kind of work done, and so everything was kind of crappy. So I went and stripped a ton of that last night, and now I have it here for the show. Yeah, that's nice. Right, everybody. Doing it for the team.
Very nice.
All right, saw Solo last night.
Yeah.
I liked it. I enjoyed it. I have some issues with it, but I enjoyed it. I think I'm happy that there are Star Wars things that aren't in the main, you know, trilogy stuff. My major issue is none of the humor worked for me. None of it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. One tiny, tiny piece of humor worked for me, and it was when the robot was cutting the fence, and for some reason she had to do it with her crotch, and the line that they made about that was funny. But other than that, all the jokes were like, okay, oof, that was a rough one. Keep moving. Like, I never really laughed at anything. Which bummed me out.
You know what's funny is I'm trying to remember if I did find anything funny, and I can't. I thought I remember thinking, all right, well, this is fun. It was about a quarter of the Infinity War humor, yeah. Which is surprising.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But there's a surprising amount of humor in Infinity War. And
it works in the Marvel movie somehow. They're just better at the timing or something. But this, I don't know. Star Wars has always had cheeseball comedy that doesn't really fit or make you laugh or whatever. There's very few moments I laugh, and I'm trying to think back, like when I was a kid, I guess I thought it was funny when Han turned to Chewie and said, "Laugh it up, fuzzball," and Chewie went whatever he does.
Right.
I guess that was funny when I was 8 or 9 or 10.
Who's scruffy looking?
Right. That stuff's just not that funny now. If it was now that I was seeing that, I would probably feel the same. So it's not really a criticism. It's fine. It's always been known for this stuff. So outside of that, it was great. There were a few things, like some characters were, I was meant, the music would go, "This is where you feel bad for them." And you go, "Well, Wayne, I barely know them. Like, you haven't introduced them very much. I don't know anything about these people." So,
yeah, there were characters I definitely wanted to know more about, which I guess is the thing you want. You don't want to over background. You want to keep some interest in the character, some compelling mystery to the character, which is kind of what we had with Han Solo later episodes of Star Wars, right?
I mean, he was elusive, you know, and hard to figure out. And
he was. He was this mysterious smuggler. Corellia, seeing...
And some of that was just missing in terms of, like, I don't know. I don't want to give plot points away, but there are characters in it where... when something bad happens to them, I meant to feel bad and I don't know them enough yet. You know what I mean? Like it's okay to feel generally bad, but the music's like swelling, going. You're like, well, okay, I understand you'd be upset, but you haven't really introduced me to them yet.
Right.
So it's not that big a deal, I guess, but kind of annoyed me.
So I'll have to tell you, there's a thing that a character says near the very end, or is about to say near the very end.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be able to even dance around it, so I won't. I'll just text you a thing that I figured out that's like, oh yeah, that was well done. That, you know, there was a thing that someone was about to say. Yeah. They didn't say it, but I know exactly what they were going to say.
Now, did you catch there was a video game reference that was only in the movie, but it's only ever appeared in a video game ever? Did you catch that reference?
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's when the dragon mother kicks some butt and they say, whoa, how'd you learn that? And she said, so-and-so taught me a thing. And then when you hear that thing, the martial arts she knows, you'll hear that name and go, oh, I remember that.
Really? Okay.
It's only from a game. That's it. As far as I know, there may have appeared in some novel or something, but it was the game.
Okay, I'll have to look for that.
Yeah. Anyway, I liked it. It was fine. It was fine. It's not the greatest thing in the world. It's not the worst thing in the world. It was fine. I'd give it like a, I don't know, 6.5, close to 7.
Yeah. It was enjoyable. I'm not at all disappointed. I enjoyed myself a lot.
Yeah. I think that guy's charming. He's okay. He's no Harrison Ford, but, you know, he's fine. Chewie was great. Always good to see Chewie. He's pretty much, you know, big hairy guy. He works out. And who else? Everybody else was fine. I like Woody Harrelson a lot. He was great.
Yeah. Yeah, me too. And there's, you know, the reference to, there's a connection to Ara Singh, who is the bounty hunter that we see in the on the top of the pod race, overlooking the pod race. That was always this sort of mysterious thing.
Oh, right. That's supposed to be her, right?
Well, no. We get a reference to... I mean, it's not a spoiler because it's in Clone Wars that the two of them, that Woody's character and her have an altercation.
Oh, okay, I got it. That's cool. Yeah.
I'm sending you a text right now, by the way, with my spoiler, but the thing I don't want to spoil.
Oh, the thing you didn't want to say on the
thing that I figured out that I'm like, oh, that's got to be it.
All right. Anyway. Well, let's take a look at that. It's right here from Brian. Okay, here we go. This is where we got a little info. Okay, hold on. Oh, yeah. I mean, the scene itself sealed the deal for me in terms of that argument or that whole fight for all these years. Yeah. So that was good enough for me. But it didn't even occur to me that that's probably what he was going to say.
What he was going to say. Yeah, exactly.
That was a great moment. Actually, I really enjoyed that.
I liked it a lot. I liked it a lot. Yes. Yeah. Anyway,
there you go. Cool stuff. Check it out. Vision's in it. That's not a spoiler. He's in it. Not as Vision.
That's right. He's not as the Vision.
No. He doesn't have the Mind Stone. You know, he's not doing Vision things. The actor.
He's not Jarvis.
Sure. Yeah, what's his, I can't think of his name. Fondue
McGillicuddy. Yes, that's it, exactly it.
Fondue.
Fondue McGillicuddy.
Hold on. Wait, hold on.
Mace Fondue.
Don't say it.
How about, okay, you don't want me to say
it? Don't say it.
Paul Bettany!
Frick. I like Paul Bettany a lot.
You Bettany.
Yeah, he's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Weird character, but I liked it. Anyway, hey, some news from the front of podcasting. Yes. I got an email this morning. Let me read a quote. Here's a quote. It says, "Because of your hard work and dedication to the craft of podcasting, you have been selected as an inductee to the 2018 class of the Academy of Podcasters Hall of Fame." What?
Hey, congratulations.
The Hall of Fame. They're going to put a big old marble bust of me along the great hall of great podcasters to come before. And you'll walk down that hall and there'll be paintings of us that we actually move in the paintings as if we're real.
We watch them. Yeah, as people walk by.
Oh, it's going to be something else, man. It's like you're being permanently added to the collection of great podcasters.
Listen, there's only 15 of us in the Hall of Fame, and with your the class of 2018, mm-hmm. there'll only be 20. I mean, 20 people out of thousands and thousands of podcasters.
It's pretty good.
Definitely something to be proud of.
Yeah,
so.
I agree. Brian's already in there, and deservedly so. So he saved me a nice little seat up there in the in the nosebleed. So I go sit there with him. And Adam Curry's
this is
in
not
there.
Not a thing where it's like, click here to vote for me to be in the Hall of Fame. I mean, you were voted on by well, I'll tell you. I mean, you were voted on by like folks like Adam Curry and Todd Cochran and Gary Leland and Dan Klass and.
A group of my peers, you might say.
That's right. And from now on, you'll get to vote as well.
Oh, really? I get to vote in the next one?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
I didn't know. I didn't know that. That's great.
Yes.
I'm super excited.
You get to vote in the next one. You get permanent admission into the podcast movement events, which are usually like $300 or $400 to attend.
Yeah.
Which always seem really high for people who are podcasting, who are doing it as a hobby.
Sure.
But
Yeah. Well, I'm very excited. Maybe I can
Gilbert Gottfried.
I can get up there and say that.
You can totally do that.
So it's in Philadelphia this year, and I'm still making determinations as to my availability. It's on the 24th or that weekend of the 24th in July or something.
Well, the 24th is a Tuesday. I think it's a Tuesday night.
If I go to the actual ceremony, I will. I'll let people know in advance so that anyone out in the Philly area, we can do a little meetup or something one of those nights.
That'd be so cool.
I just don't know yet, so we'll find out. But yeah. I'm very excited. It was super honoring to get that. And actually, I kind of had a little bit of knowledge ahead of this. It's been hard for me not to say anything, but big thanks to the existing Academy members, Brian Ibbett, one of them. And you're all saying to yourselves, well, no wonder you got in. Brian voted you in. Well, it doesn't matter to me. I'm
just one vote. Seriously, yeah. I mean, I'm just one vote, so it's not just me.
All right.
But I did get the pleasure, thanks to Gary Leland, I got the pleasure of being the person to tell Scott that he was being inducted, which was really cool.
Yeah, I enjoyed that. That's the only person I would have really wanted to hear it from was Brian.
Aw. Yeah. You know, man, if you're doing, maybe I figure out if you are doing a meetup, because people have been clamoring for an East Coast meetup kind of thing.
Well, it's that.
Maybe I do try and figure out a way to get out there.
It's that, or plane tickets are ridiculous right now. I don't know why they're so expensive.
They are.
Maybe they'll fluctuate. But the other option is, well, I don't know about this for sure, so I can't talk about it. But there may be another thing in that direction that I'll be able to announce soon. So anyway, one way or the other, we'll pull that Johnson and let you know later. In the meantime,
bad gay movies.
All right, great.
Atlantic City meetup. You heard it here, folks. We're all meeting in Atlantic City.
We can only go places where Brian can gamble.
It's me and Kim now. Now that I know that Kim, like Kim and I are just gonna like pull up a couple of chairs in front of the Buffalo Run slot machines and and waste all of our money.
Well, anyway, it's an honor. So thank you, guys, of the Academy there. I'm honored to be part of your dealio there. That's fantastic. And I like the idea that now, once you're in the Hall of Fame, you get a vote from then on. Eventually, mm-hmm. do you get too many votes? Like, how does that work? Because then you have an exponential growth of votes, right?
You do, but I mean, it's five people per year, maybe six people per year. I don't know how many it is. But so it's going to be a while before we have like, oh my God, the voting group is in the thousands and it's an unwieldy amount and blah, blah, blah.
I know who I'm voting for next year. I already have it in my head.
Do you?
Yeah. I'm not going to tell you.
Okay. I bet you're going to play a clip or something.
No, I'm going to think.
As we know.
He's the guy. We're going to get Third Eagle in there.
I want to get Third Eagle. Let's get Third Eagle.
Why doesn't that guy?
Let's break the Hall of Fame like we broke the podcast awards.
That guy should be, he should have a podcast where he sits and talks for an hour and a half about his wackadoo crap.
Who says he doesn't? We just don't know, right? I mean, it's certainly possible.
It's entirely possible.
We haven't checked in on him in a while. I hope he's doing all right. We get a lot of stuff today, but we'll have to check on him for a future episode.
Yeah, make sure he's all right. You got to check in on that guy. Make sure he hasn't completely lost it yet. Make sure he's still entertaining us with goofball theories, and I don't want to see him die. That'd be bad, you know.
Oh God, no.
No, yeah. I don't wish that on anybody. But I do want to call Brian Dunaway and play a little game with him.
We should do that.
Yeah. Let's do it now.
Okay.
I'm adding him to this call.
Got the thing right here. You can can't freeze frame and look at my list.
No. I don't want to see it. I don't want to wait. Tonight,
all
something
to be over.
Here is the theme for it. Whoops, hold on. There it is. All right, time for us to play Babel Royale. That means Brian Dunaway sneaks on in here like the little bastard that he is and tries to help somebody win a thing. Hello, Brian Dunaway.
Hi, Scott.
Hi, how are you?
Brian.
Hi, Brian.
Brian.
Oh.
I'm Brian still Dunaway. I'm still bitter from Monday.
Why are you?
Wait. Oh, the Pac-Man deal. Yeah, that was rough.
I'm over it. I got over it on Memorial Day. I popped into Ambium and hopped on Twitter.
Yeah.
Got my show canceled. No, wait, that wasn't me.
Wait, did you say? Oh, okay. I was like, wait, Ambien, and then it hit me. He's doing a Roseanne bit. Hey, I forgot to say the arcade we went to, I played all the Pac-Mans. They had everything there that we talked about, except for that pinball machine that helped me win, but the
Mr. and Mrs.
Yeah, they had this baby and all
was
that.
Was Junior Pac-Man there?
It was. They had Junior Pac-Man.
Yeah.
They had
Junior Pac-Man.
Shut up,
Junior.
Super.
Listen, would you call the blues, the famous blues guitarist, would you call him Brown Junior or
Brown
Junior Brown?
Yeah. What would you do?
Right?
Yeah.
Would you call Ibbot feeding the answers? Oh, it was a pinball machine. It was a pinball. Let me give that to you. It's like, Scott's all like, wasn't there a game with Miss Pac-Man and Mr. Pac-Man? Wasn't there something like that? And he's like, oh, he has a pinball machine. Oh, okay.
No, I don't think Brian did that.
No, I certainly did. He said,
I'm going to
say Mr. and Mrs. Pac-Man.
Yeah. Yeah, I think Brian did. I think he was host with the most. He did fine.
I hope everybody finds our bickering entertaining. Because I have fun.
Yeah, it's all good. It's all good. Let's add a call to this nightmarish experience.
Love fest.
Yeah, and see what happens. We have a caller coming in, and they are not answering. Wait, hold on. Aww. Maybe they are. All right, let's try this one. Okay, we got trying another one. Here we go. Hi, you're on the air. Who's this?
This is Luke.
Well, hello, Luke. Luke, where do you
not
hail
barbecue
from?
Luke.
No, not barbecue, okay. Luke. Okay, good. I mean, I like barbecue, no, Luke.
And I'm actually.
Go ahead.
Just north of Philadelphia.
Oh, no way. So if I end up out there, you might come by, maybe. Maybe that'd
be. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, that'd be
cool.
Will
you take him out for a cheesesteak with no onions on it?
Oh, yeah. I got
to
take
Got to go to the right place.
Got to take a piss. Isn't that how they talk about it?
Are you? Yeah, a wicked pizza. Yes. So are you, Luke, are you a cheese whiz on the cheesesteak guy or ketchup on the cheesesteak? What's your take on the cheesesteak?
Well, I'm originally from New York, so I'm not a big cheesesteak guy to begin with.
Oh, but he likes the thin pizza, though. Mmm. Right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, New York style pizza.
Thin pizza's the best.
That sounds right now like a thing I would eat right now. I would eat New York style pizza right now. All right.
People are correcting us, by the way. Wicked pizza is Boston. That's right. Of course it is.
Oh, it is? All right. Well, there you go. Go Celtics. All right, Brian, give us the lowdown. How's this work? How are we going to play
this? I will do that exact thing. I'm going to give Scott and Brian Dunaway a topic, and they're going to go back and forth with answers for that topic. If one of them gives a wrong answer, a repeated answer, or they take too long to come up with an answer, the win is going to go to the other player. Luke, your job is to predict who is going to come out on top based on the topic. Today, you are playing for a new prize package, including Ancient Planet, No Time to Explain, Remastered, and Chime Sharp, 3 Steam games that are awesome, and I have no idea how any of these go or play. But
Time Sharp? Did I get that name right? Chime Sharp. All right. Hell of a thing, it sounds like. Luke, looks like you checked in on the right day. What's our thing?
Your topic today, courtesy of Thomas Bennett, who sent this in, patron Thomas Bennett. They want you to name the provinces of Canada.
Oh, my gosh. Okay.
Right.
Okay. Exactly. All right. I'm down for this challenge.
I don't know about this.
Sorry. You're going to be real sorry about this. All right.
So you guys start thinking about it. Luke, who do you think is going to be able to name more provinces of Canada?
Gonna go with Scott again.
Yeah.
No. Oh, good.
Yeah.
Good.
Do you hear that, Dunaway? Going with Scott.
Oh, I heard him. No. I heard him.
Okay. All right. Let's give it a swing. Who starts? The one that gets picked.
The one that gets picked. Scott. You are going to be starting the list here.
Toronto.
already done. And that
wow,
was quick,
that was
folks.
That was
wait
super fast. I am so
Toronto
proud of me.
Toronto would be a city. And
wait. Province, what's the difference? I thought they were all cities and I thought they were all provinces.
Well, the difference is you're wrong.
Wait, what?
Think of it like cities and states, Scott. Toronto is a city.
Yeah.
Ontario is the state that Toronto is in, or the province that Toronto
okay,
is in.
Okay, so Ontario would have been it?
Ontario would have been a province.
Oh,
yes.
I would have blown right. this then.
Ontario.
I didn't know how it worked.
British
I really
Columbia.
Didn't know how it worked. I had no
Scott
idea.
Scott had a lot of them in
Manitoba.
There. Brian had a lot of them in the bank. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, I talked to like three different people in Canada like weekly. So, yeah, I know some Canadian stuff.
Oh,
but that's
my
great.
Gosh.
That's great. This makes up for my Pac-Man.
Sorry, Luke.
Moving west to east, here's what you could have said.
Okay.
British Columbia, Alberta, Saskatchewan, Manitoba, Ontario, Quebec, New Brunswick, Prince Edward Island. Oh, the best clams come from Prince Edward Island, or oysters. And Nova Scotia and Newfoundland and Labrador.
Oh, my gosh. This is, I feel like the giantest of idiots today.
No.
I feel bad. I feel like I've hosed our potential winner today.
No, if you want to know our kryptonite, it's probably going to be geography most days.
Yeah. most days. That's true. All right, well, that's great. Boy, the chat room had a field day with that one, didn't you? You guys enjoyed that, did you? You guys like
that? That was the quickest battle royale I think we've ever had.
But I think I did one or two, didn't I? Didn't I like flub one like right out of the gate too, like a couple of weeks ago?
Yeah, but I don't think it was as bad as this. It wasn't as bad as this.
I think you led up to the flub. Yeah. It was the first word out of Scott's mouth.
Toronto.
Oh, easy. Toronto. Got it.
You know I almost said Ontario because I also okay. This is just gonna. I'm gonna. The full disclosure. I thought Ontario was also like a city or a whatever. So I would have said Ontario was the same as like to me Ontario and Toronto are the same thing, not the same place,
right.
But like
same, right, but so two cities.
Yeah,
in Canada.
So I would have gotten it right, but I would have been wrong regardless in my own head. Frick, yeah, typical Americans. That's right. Hey, look, man, whatever. When y'all say something dumb, let me know how that goes for you.
I don't even think Thomas Bennett thought that this would go that quickly.
No, right. I don't think anybody did. Anyway, well done. Well, that's given
Thomas gets a prize for sending in that that Babel Royale. And again, if you want to get a Babel Royale suggestion to me, here's the way to do it. Mm-hmm. Don't freaking tweet it. Mm-hmm. Because guess what? Brian and Scott can both see my tweets.
Yeah.
Certainly don't tweet it and include the two of them either.
Yeah.
maybe that's a bad idea.
Yeah.
No, you're gonna if you are a patron, you can email me a Babel Royale suggestion at coverville@gmail.com.
Yeah, do that and play with us again. And thanks everybody for joining in our really stupid idea.
Right. Oh dude, this could have easily went bad for me. I mean, I just happen to know a little bit about Canadian geography, but man. I mean, they could have asked anything about Utah, and I would have been like, Salt Lake.
See, you wouldn't know. You'd be like, what the hell is that?
We're not going to do one where it's named cities in Utah, although.
Right.
Kind of funny.
I don't know. They can suggest it. Brian Dunaway is the Brian Dunaway on Twitter. You can follow him there. He's a big fan of Roseanne and will tell you all you need to know. We'll see you later. All right. What now?
You don't want to tweet on Ambien.
No. Well, also terrible excuse. By the way.
Well, yes. Very bad excuse.
I'm only racist on Ambien. I'm sure that's part of the thing. Do not take Ambien if you find yourself saying racist things. Ask your doctor if Ambien's right for you.
Some of my best friends are sleeping pills.
You know, I don't understand. Well, I could go off on this. I shouldn't.
Yeah.
I'm not going to. I'm going to hold it. I'm going to keep it in my proverbial head. I'm not going to say it. It's actually my real head. It's not my proverbial head. I have an actual head. All right, Brian, it's time for us to say goodbye to that and hello to this.
This is your radio newscaster with another exclusive sensational summary of world and local events.
It's the news brought to you by...
Brought to you by Coverville, where today I'm going to be combining two legends, lady legends of rock and roll, one of them turning 50, one of them turning 70, Stevie Nicks and Kylie Minogue, both celebrating birthdays this last week. I'll leave it up to you to guess which one is which as far as ages, but it's probably pretty easy. But here's some of covers of some of Stevie Nicks' solo stuff, some of her fronted songs from Fleetwood Mac, as well as a bunch of stuff from Kylie Minogue. That is coming up today on Coverville at 1 p.m. Mountain Time, coverville.com/live.
Landslide.
Yeah, that's exactly it.
Yeah, that's her.
Took my love, took it down.
Take it down.
Climbed the mountain and I got around.
Bet.
My reflection and I'm covered hills and I'm landslide.
I do love her though.
I'm gonna get sued by Jim Brewer if I keep that up.
It's totally fine. You gotta do what you gotta do. Here you go. This is some news for you.
I have Jim Brewer's phone number in my cell phone, by the way.
Jim Brewer, the comedian?
Jim Brewer, the goat boy, yeah.
Wow.
The comedian and podcaster.
Oh, I didn't know he podcasted. What's he doing?
He does. He does a couple shows. Like, he's got a baseball show. He's got a one about parenting, kind of being a metal dad.
Yeah.
That's the one I did a logo for. And, really, really nice guy.
Huh. He should be. Yeah. Let's get him in that Hall of Fame there, you know?
Nah, he hasn't put in his time.
Understand.
You have to have been podcasting for 10 years to even be considered for the Hall of Fame.
Well, podcasting's back from what I hear. So.
In pog form,
yeah.
Even.
It's time to get back anyway. Into it. An evangelist is pissing me off today, so I put this story in first. An evangelist who wants a $54 million jet says, because people are criticizing him for it, says Jesus wouldn't be riding a donkey.
I think Mary and Joseph did, yeah, didn't they?
His implication is that if in the modern day Jesus suddenly showed up, he would demand that he be flying in a $54 million private jet, which is the most stupid, ridiculous thing I've ever heard in my life. A prosperity gospel televangelist is asking his followers to pray about becoming a partner in his mission of obtaining a $54 million private jet. This is a Louisiana-based ministry of Jesse Duplantis. Yeah, you heard me. Duplantis.
Duplantis.
He's age 40, has already paid cash for 3 other private planes, but says God told him, "I want you to believe in me for a Falcon 7X.
So this isn't even his first private plane. He wants his 4th private plane.
Yep.
And he's asking his fans to pay for it. That's really nice. That's super cool.
Yeah.
Like
I like that you called them fans. I prefer that over followers. I think fans is better.
Fans.
Yeah. Fans of this televangelist.
This flock.
He's the farting preacher. Not really.
That would be great if he was.
He says he's hoping to take the word of Jesus to new heights with help from a $54 million jet. This is according to CBS News. And this is not The Onion. This is CBS News reporting this, so it seems like there's some legitimacy to it. Duplantis runs a ministry and a church in Destoran, Louisiana, I think is how you say it. It's just outside of New Orleans. I've actually been through there, but I don't know how to say it. In a video posted to his website last week, he asked his followers to help fund the aircraft, noting that God told him he would have a jet, but not pay for it. You bastard. That's the lamest thing I've ever heard in my life. It's so
totally
skeevy. God told me I'd have this jet, but it wouldn't be me paying for it.
Please just go to my GoFundMe page and give whatever you can so that I can have this jet that God himself told me I should have.
That's right. Go to GoFundMe.com/I'm a dick. Says the 3-engine plane would allow the ministry to fly anywhere in the world in one step, reducing the fuel cost while maintaining his global reach. Screw that guy. Come on. That is the least Jesus thing I ever heard of in my life.
You know there's cocaine and hookers that are going to be on that jet, too.
Yeah.
On his other 3 private planes.
Trust this guy as far as I could throw him.
Mm-hmm.
In other news.
Sure.
If you want an effective way to stop people on Pornhub, get them off Pornhub. Should have had the story for yesterday's
Unfriendly last night. Yeah. I was listening to Unfriendly while I was playing Far Cry 5. And then all of a sudden, you guys just stopped talking. And I was in the middle of a level where I've got to escape this bunker.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a pain. It's a really, really great level, but you've kind of got to be stealthy and sneak up behind people. Cause if you fire a gun, everybody's going to come running. So you've got to kind of like sneak up behind and break people's necks and pull the bodies out of the way. So other patrollers don't see it.
Oh my.
And,
I like stealth gameplay like that. That's cool. That's fun.
It was a lot of fun, but a lot of fun breaking people's necks. But you guys stopped talking, and I couldn't be bothered to get back, you know, to pause the game, walk over to the computer, figure out why Twitch stopped playing, and figure it all out.
That bums out.
Maybe I was enjoying while I was listening.
Yeah, it was good. It was a good, I think it was one of our better shows, actually. But mm-hmm. Anyway, so check this out. Sometimes Pornhub, they give us crazy data sometimes. Like, they're happy to say, hey, remember that weird thing? Check this out. Here's weird porn data. Like, they're into that data. And mm-hmm. I like it. Every once in a while, we get a cool story like this. I don't know if it's that cool. But anyway, if you want if you want people off Pornhub, the way to do it is to have a royal wedding. The royal marriage does it. The royal wedding was, what, 2 weeks ago? Something like that?
Something like that, yeah.
Here's the
week
deal.
Week and a half, yeah.
They say that they had a huge drop in traffic. In site traffic over at Pornhub. The worldwide average was 10%, while the UK alone saw a 21% dip in traffic. So the whole world had a dip, 21% in the home of the royal family. They said, still we managed to get outdone by the French, who toppled the global table with 23% drop in traffic in France. America, which could not get enough of the event, if you believe their news networks, only saw a 6% drop. Oh, I think we have dual screens here in this country. I think that's what's going on there.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Yeah. You got a little little porn to the right, a little marriage to the left.
I'll watch it on my phone and I'll...
That's how we roll. We multitask.
I'm putting the porn up on the 4K TV, if you know what I mean.
That way you can see every mole on her butt. it says here, England was down 21%, Wales 19%, Scotland 15%. Northern Ireland, 14% during the ceremony. Do you like that, guy who's mad at me for that accent? You're like that?
You're so ignorant. You're so ignorant thinking that that's every Irish accent, Scott.
I know. It's like it's probably not even right for any of them. I'll tell you what accent it matches. That little Lucky Charms guy.
Yes, exactly. Lucky the Leprechaun.
Is that his name?
Mm-hmm. Lucky.
His name's Lucky.
His name's Lucky.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I had no idea. I thought it was like, I thought he didn't have a name. Keebler was his name. I don't know.
Follow me into the bathroom and I'll show you my Lucky Charms.
Look at my blue banana.
Look at Lucky's charms, if you know what I'm saying to you.
Hey, can you understand what the words I'm saying to your ears? Yarr.
We got all sorts of new flavors, new marshmallows, pink sack.
A pervert blue, Lucky.
Never mind.
I can't even imagine him in real life and how dirty he'd be.
Maybe you should burn something and I give you a bowl of cereal.
Yeah. How do you feel about that? Come you over here. Oh, Lord. So there's
brown starfish.
Purple balloon nuts.
Everything's green. What are you talking about?
What are you talking about? Get over here. Anyway. Worst discussion we've ever had.
I think might be.
It's right up there.
That Irish listener has now given up. They have moved on to the Gilbert Gottfried podcast.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, this will probably be a lot less offensive.
Yep,
this will probably be. I'll go listen to Adam Carolla. He doesn't offend me.
No. All he does is say advertisements every 5 seconds. It's my favorite show. All right.
I've been thinking about getting a Casper. What are you talking about? Stamps.com. I'm all signing up.
You're telling me I get a mattress for free? I can try it out and do me business and then keep it or send it back? By the holy grail of Monkey Boy, I'm in. I don't know what that means.
All right. Hall of Fame podcasters. Right
yeah,
here.
Hall of Fame podcasters, fame. You guys. Hall of Fame. Legacy podcast.
Legacy podcast. The only podcast where you'll actually get two Hall of Fame podcasters on the same show. Oh, I'll just let you know that.
That's right. Because it's not like even Adam Dvorak, Curry.
Dvorak's not in the Hall of Fame.
No. I mean, maybe he'll guest on Twit and then Leo's in there. So sure. You might get that once in a while. But that's not regular. In fact, I'm not sure he even goes on there anymore. I don't think.
Well, we need to actually say that. We need to say the only podcast featuring two Hall of Fame podcasters.
Whoa.
Mm-hmm.
This is a big deal.
The only daily podcast featuring two Hall of Fame podcasters. Let's really take it up a notch.
This is a big whoop. Anyway, sorry to the Irish guy who's going to be mad. He's going to be mad at me. I don't mean any. This isn't a racist thing.
No,
it's just an ignorant
no.
American crappy accent. That's all it is. Enjoy. You guys are white like us.
We learn all of our accents from Saturday morning cartoons and cereal commercials. That's all it is.
Yeah, you guys are white like us. And you don't experience the same level of American oppression that you used to. Like back in the 20s, I've seen, what's the Scorsese movie?
Yeah, Gangs of New York.
Gangs of New York. I've seen that. I know how you Irish were treated in those early days. I get it. I know it was a little bit rough, but now people freaking love you, man. Come over here. You got this great, cool accent. You're smart. You're happy. You got a great homeland, and you aren't bombing the British anymore because the British finally quit being a-holes to you, and, you know, you're part of the UK.
The problem is that we took Ambien right before the show. We're
blaming Ambien on everything from now on. Skype crashed. Ambien.
Ambien.
Yep. Ambien.
Skype's on Ambien.
Yeah. I want to talk about her so bad, but I'm not going to do it. Okay. Not going to do it. I really want to, though, Brian. I really want to.
I know.
Hold me back.
Don't do it, Scott.
Hold my hair. All right. Here's a deal. USGS warning. I don't know what that is. U.S. Geological Survey it is.
That would be it, yeah.
Do not try to roast marshmallows over erupting Hawaiian volcanoes.
There's
an actual warning. Given that's what's happening in Hawaii, the main island there, this is good advice. You'd think it'd go without saying, but on Tuesday on Twitter, they turned around and warned all their residents not to try and roast any marshmallows over erupting Hawaiian volcanoes or rifts. They were responded to a Twitter asker or a Twitter user who asks, is it safe to roast marshmallows over volcanic vents? Assuming you had a long enough stick, would the resulting marshmallows be poisonous? He asked.
Right.
Not only would it not be safe, but they said the marshmallows would taste very bad.
Yeah.
They taste like magma.
How tempted do you think USGS were to respond? You know what? Go ahead. Sure. maybe we don't need this person.
Yeah. It's like go for it, Darwin. Let us know how it goes. it says the volcanic vents would be emitting
rotten egg filled flavored s'more, delicious.
Yeah, because it's all that salt. It's all sulfur and stuff. It would be all stinky.
It's all sulfur.
Be like your uncle's farts. sulfur dioxide and hydrogen sulfide, and the USGS says the sulfuric acid from the volcano smog would create a quote pretty spectacular reaction unquote. Earlier in the day, officials issued warnings that the fast moving lava flow was flowing through the Leinani Estates community in Hawaii. Residents were urged to evacuate and avoid being trapped by the lava or lava. How do you say it? Lava or lava?
I say lava. Lava.
What if I was Ernie Hudson? Well, how would I say it?
Lava tubes.
I think you're right.
Lava.
Oh, wait, that's not it.
Oh, wow, that's probably a soap commercial, isn't it?
Yeah, and that guy's got it wrong. Hold on. Lava. Here we go. This is how you'd say it.
Lava tubes.
Lava tubes.
Lava tubes.
Ernie Hudson.
The internet's made out of. That's what the Hawaiian internet is made out of right now.
Hey, you know where Ernie Hudson's really good? He's always, I kind of like Ernie Hudson regardless.
Sure.
Right? We all used to make fun of when he was just kind of treated weirdly on Ghostbusters and it just felt like this leftover guy. He's gone on to do some actually good work. And what he's really good in that I saw recently is that Gracie and, or what's it called?
Oh, Frank and Gracie?
Grace and Frankie, yeah.
Grace and Frankie.
He's great. He's really great in that. Like, super good. Really? Like, way to go, man. Still working it. He looks great. That guy's great. Mm-hmm. All right.
That's cool. I haven't seen that yet, but that's on our list for something to watch. We got about a dozen things that, you know, eventually.
My wife adores that show.
Really? Okay.
Oh, she loves it. She thinks it's so good. And I think it's good too.
In The Hand That Rocks the Cradle.
Oh, yeah.
Is the garden keeper
De Mornay
gardener
deal? Yeah, right? Where mm-hmm. It started because Q, Krusty Space Hands, put his doctor fingers where they weren't supposed to go.
That's right, exactly.
Yeah, I remember that.
That's right, exactly.
Burned into my head.
And then somebody crashed a plane and dropped a teddy bear into Walter White's pool. It all connects.
Yeah, everything's connected. It's all connected. Yeah. I agree. Mm-hmm. And then he wouldn't give me a picture because I had a dollar short of the 35 or whatever.
That's right. Exactly. Yeah.
Crusty old space hands.
Right.
Anyway, oldest known case of dandruff found in a 125 million year old dinosaur. Oh, finally.
Wow, okay.
Just rub some Head and Shoulders on there and everything will be fine.
That's right.
Still think I can go buy Head and Shoulders?
I think you can. I think you can still buy Head and Shoulders.
Is dandruff?
I don't think I've seen a commercial for Head and Shoulders in two decades.
It's been a while.
But I think Head and Shoulders is still something you can buy.
Do you?
Are you gonna ask me if I have? I even use shampoo, Scott?
Well, I'm asking. What I'm asking is, does if you decide to shave your head and you shave it on the regular, does that stop being a potential issue for someone who doesn't have hair anymore?
Like, I would think so. I don't think you can get dandruff without having hair.
Okay. Because I thought it was just skin flakes, and so I thought, well, I don't know. Maybe the hair. I don't know how it works.
It is a skin flake, a dried skin flake issue, but I think it's something to do with the follicles producing or cracking or something. I don't know. That actually is a really good question. Can bald people get dandruff? Because I really wanted to know.
Hopefully she'll do a YouTube video on that. We'll learn from her. That'd be great.
I mean, I'm guessing, there we go. Without hair, the scalp stays drier and is easier to exfoliate and keep from becoming a backup or depository of dry skin cells. With the ability of the bald man to easily cleanse and dry the scalp and to remove any skin cells that may begin to accumulate, there becomes a far lesser chance that dandruff will occur, but you can still get it.
The ability of the bald man.
The ability of the bald man.
I like that a lot. Well, anyway, they found this dinosaur. Oh, yeah. Sorry. What? What'd you do?
No, I was just saying I shaved today.
Oh, you did? Mm-hmm. Like a baby's bum. Oh, I would totally kiss it.
Yep.
Totally would.
Who wouldn't? Nobody.
Wouldn't. I watched Tom Merritt do it.
That's right. So we have video.
Yeah, we have video proof of this. Anyway, they found this old case of this stuff on a 125-million-year-old dinosaur. It was a meat-eating dinosaur. It's about crow-sized. It's a micro-raptor, they call them. How cool is that?
Mm-hmm.
Micro-raptor.
I would be more scared of micro-raptors than... regular size.
I would too. Brian, what would you rather have? 1,000 microraptors or one dinosaur the size of 1,000 microraptors? I hate that question that people
ask. Do they have to, do they cluster together to open doors, to turn doorknobs?
So they're clever
little tiny micro girls.
they're like nanites that connect or created right, large exactly. dinosaur.
Like stack on top of each other like zombies in World War Z. Perfect.
I'm into that. Yes. There was a Futurama where there were tons and tons of little benders, and that's what would happen. They would all combine into a giant bender, which is pretty rad. Anyway, they found this old skin flaky crap on this dinosaur, and there you go.
And it's because, but he has feathers, so it's interesting.
Yeah, I think they're more and more scientists are like, they probably all had some kind of feathers. Like, they all had at least feather-like, proto-feather-like material growing out of them. Who did I talk to recently? Somebody who knows this stuff. Maybe he's a fan of the show, or somebody wrote me. And someone will write in now, because I'm getting this all wrong, I'm sure. But it seems like the current dinosaur science is leaning toward the idea that all of them, like even the stuff we keep showing in Jurassic Park as big lizards, all had some kind of outer when a bird has its what do you call that, it's not its wings or its feathers, but it's
plumage. Thank you, Sidian.
Something like that. Sure. So I think that's the current thinking, and then we've got it all wrong all this time, that they aren't just big naked lizards. Anyway, because they're all, birds are raptors, so there you go.
Maybe they'll correct it for Jurassic World 3. Yep. Now we've got feathers.
Now we're putting feathers in the DNA. The Chinese guy who keeps escaping finally figured it out. Right. Forgot his name. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, Tom will be here with Tom's Tech Time. We'll have recommendals with Nicole, and we're just going to have a great old time. So come on back for that.
Yay.
Before that, though, Brian brung music, and he must play it. That's his mandate.
I must. Yep. This one comes to us from Refeel Music. Refeel Music Group. Big thanks to Frank over there for reaching out. How about a Scandinavian alternative band that's now living in Berlin? So they're Berlin-based, but they're Scandinavian in origin. and it is a band called We Kings. This is their song Viking Baby. Kind of combines Nordic folklore to create a powerful anthem that captivates its listeners. I think it works really well. I really like it. Here is We Kings and Viking Baby.
Well, sometimes you just know the answer before the question comes. And it was obvious. It always had to be the two of us. my promised land. Yeah, you said you always knew it, knew it, knew it, hand in hand. We rose from the ruin, ruin, ruins. I feel like I saw your face 1,000 years ago. And I still remember the feeling nothing breaks the spell of love. You hunted me down like a warrior, just like a warrior, just like a warrior, just like a Viking baby. Warrior, just like a warrior, just like a warrior, just like a Viking baby. You would bear my cross, yeah, I know that you would fight for us. Oh, yeah, 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 I do, and I can't wait to spend my life with you, my promised love. Oh, you said you always knew it, knew it, knew it, hand in hand. We rose from the ruin, ruin, ruin. I feel like I saw your face 1,000 years ago.
That's it, villain.
What a cool line. You're quite the hero. I am Dundian, keeping it a fool-free zone.
My name is Ko, and I'm beating down evil. I'm not taking excuses. I'm beating you down.
You're very angry. A real hothead. I like that. It'll be an honor to beat you.
Damn. I hate activities.
Listen very carefully. For I shall only say this once.
This is the Morning Stream.
All right, we're back. That was awesome.
Yeah.
I like it a lot.
Powerful, total anthem song, like a total arena rocker.
Yeah, that was good.
You heard it here first before you start hearing it in every movie trailer in 2019.
Feels like it. Feels mm-hmm. like that's one of those songs that could go someplace.
Totally.
It's kind of cool. All right. Hey, let's get Tom in here. What do you say?
Sure. I'm okay with that.
Are you?
I'm okay with that.
I meant
yeah.
to check.
You know,
I meant
I'm
to
okay.
I meant to check before. Make sure you were okay with it then. But now it sounds like sounds like even though we're kind of
I'll let
in,
it go this time.
You'll let it go.
But,
okay.
You know,
all right. Fair enough. Right. Fair enough. Let's play a little theme. He's got a theme. I like playing his theme. Hold on a second. Where is it? Right here.
With the computer, as with any tool, the concept and direction must come from the man.
That man is Tom Merritt, who has finally come back from his long stay in Australia to grace us with his presence.
I came back told. With this accent. It's not Australian.
Yeah, it's weird.
Don't know what it is, really.
Didn't expect that. It's very odd. Welcome home, by the way. We missed you
Thank
terribly.
You. It's
yeah.
good to be here.
Yeah. Or we were talking yesterday in Current Geek. It sounds like you're You're like one of those guys that's really efficient at this stuff anyway, but it seems like whatever jet lag may have been there has left you.
I credit Dr. Yazdani, mm-hmm. my doctor,
yeah.
With tipping me off to melatonin before the trip. She gave me the advice. She's like, take it an hour after the flight each way.
Yeah.
Help you sleep on the plane. And then once you land in Australia and when you get back to the U.S., take one melatonin every night at 9 p.m.
Yeah.
Just to kind of nudge your body back into understanding what time it is and when you should sleep. And it really worked.
Well, it's impressive because a melatonin seems to do nothing for me when I've taken it before. But not well, I don't doubt that it works. It's just my chemistry sucks.
Well, it could be that, certainly. But also, it's not a sleep aid.
Right.
And I think a lot of people expect it to work like a sleeping pill, which it doesn't. All it does is it tells the body it's nighttime, which if you're a night owl, your body's going to go, woohoo, nighttime, I guess. I don't know. I don't know how it works. But yeah, the way it worked with jet lag was to just sort of say, hey, we know you're out of sync, but this is the nighttime. This is when, because your body naturally produces melatonin at night to help you go to sleep. So this is just kind of helping your body, like, oh, there's melatonin in my system. I guess it must be nighttime and get you back on track a little faster.
Sure.
It may or may not actually make you sleepy. Depends on who you are.
Will it make me racist? Is my question.
No, that's Ambien. No,
it's
funny actually. Ambien, the makers of Ambien, tweeted that racism is not a known side effect.
Did they? Freaking, of course they did.
Love it. That's the best response ever.
That's pretty good. I was hoping they would say something. There's a Twitter. What a weird place. Hey, let's talk about technology. I wonder, this is just a quick question. I know there's stuff of the day that we'll talk about, but did you feel connected to the happenings and goings on while you were there? I mean, I don't mean that Australia is out of the loop when it comes to this, but what I mean is, like, for 2 weeks, you have a wedding, there's some vacation in there, there's meetups, there's other stuff. Did you feel like you were at all at a loss for what was happening day to day in that regard?
No, not at all. I mean, I have an obsession, and I would wake up every morning, and the first thing I would do would be look at the Slack to read all the messages that the team had done in preparing for DTNS. Then I would listen to Good Day Internet, the full version of DTNS that we put out on the Patreon. Then I would read Feedly, because the way the time difference worked, that all would be the first thing on my iPhone in the morning.
Yeah.
So pretty much, not every single morning, but pretty much most mornings, that was my routine. So my own creation, one could say, kept me up to date, because I'd listen to Good Day Internet and feel like, hey, that's a pretty good show. I feel informed.
Yeah, yeah.
No, that's great. It was a good feeling, I have to say.
Well, it's our pleasure to have you back and to finally get back into the swing here. So what is going on today? What should people know about?
I thought maybe we would talk about the retro gaming fad that's sweeping the nation, because the Atari VCS console is open for pre-orders now on Indiegogo. And if you're not up to speed on that, folks out there, the VCS console is a revived Atari that is putting out a Linux game console, basically, that comes bundled with 100 Atari classic titles. It's got an Atari feel. It's not a mimic of the 2600, but there's one that's available with a wood panel finish. And the joystick is reminiscent of the 2600 joystick. And you can also play PC games on it. It's Linux, so you're not gonna play all the Windows games on it, but any game that's available for Linux, you'd be able to play on it.
Right.
And Intellivision is back.
Oh
really?
Oh no.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm happy to hear that or horrified.
Well, me either. Do you know who Tommy Tallarico is?
Name's familiar-ish.
I didn't, so I don't even know if I'm saying his name right. I apologize if I'm not. He is the host of Video Games Live and is now the president of the new Intellivision. They've also got a bunch of the original designers and executives on board, and they intend to put out their own Intellivision retro console. There's going to be a Facebook Q&A May 31st and a full announcement on October 1st. I was less enthusiastic about this than, like, when the first Atari joystick, first time I ever saw one of those joysticks with the Atari games bundled in, I was like, this is amazing. The Nintendo Retro Minis have fascinated me. I thought they were pretty cool. But now that we've seen more and more of these, kind of the sheen is starting to wear off. Mm-hmm. And even though I personally I have a deep nostalgia for Intellivision, I spent many a moment at Sears playing with their version of it. It's starting to feel like, okay, not that they shouldn't do it, but I'm not as excited as I was when the first of this.
Right. I wonder if
and it was the worst joystick ever.
Oh, it was terrible. It was a phone. Yeah. It was basically a little phone. Mm-hmm. Like with a keypad. And the way that every game worked was is you had to have the little cards for the game to slide in there, and they'd have overlays on the keys so they were unique to that game or whatever. I mean, in some ways it's innovative and interesting.
Sure.
But it didn't allow for, you know, much of a sort of a Twitch gaming experience. And the thing is, when you say that now, and it sounds like I'm talking about Twitch.tv, but I mean the old kind of Twitch where you're twitchy. Yeah. But
Twitch.tv was named after, which is the twitchiness.
Right. And it wasn't until we got the NES that there was a controller where it was like, oh, okay, this is game controls moving forward. Like, the way that D-pad worked, it was very innovative at the time. Up until then, it was weird in television, stuff like this. It was that stupid joystick that Atari had. Like, they sucked up to that point.
Right.
So it's hard for me to actually get too nostalgic about these old ones other than surface level, because the progression just made things so much better. Do I really want to go back to Coleco and Intellivision and 2600 days? I don't know if I do. Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, you're saying the controller was the thing. Let's assume that's not going to be a problem. Right, they'll have a better controller.
Sure, there'll be a Bluetooth, typical, DualShock style.
Well, the Atari's definitely got that, right? It looks like.
Yeah. There's a second controller you can get.
Yeah.
But still, there's nothing. I mean, right now, if I want to play an Atari game, granted, I'm using ROMs with my RetroPie to play them, that's totally fine with me. You know, and they even had for a while, you could get the thing that looked like an Atari controller that had the games built into the ROM.
Right,
and just plug that into the HDMI. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't know why I would buy any of these.
Here's the other, here's the other advantage Nintendo has. Nintendo is making these retro consoles, and it's the same Nintendo that they were back then, just bigger. Right. So you have this lineage that feels undisturbed. There's nothing even remotely resembling the original Atari company. This has all been names sold down the river. There's a publishing rights thing that is separate and owned by, I think it's still owned by Warner Brothers. Then you have this thing, which is a hardware rights thing. And then there's like crossover with software rights to run it on that machine. It's not the same. And it will be true of the Intellivision as well. This isn't the original Intellivision company. This is like someone ended up the rights at some point. All that stuff's gone. So something about that Nintendo connection and knowing that Nintendo's making it and those controllers are like dead on, the SNES one just feels right in every way for me.
I will say, I mean, Intellivision is making a big deal in its press release that they've got a bunch of the original Intellivision folks, I think because they're trying to address that attitude. But there is something different between like we're recreating Intellivision and it's been Nintendo the whole way. There's probably fewer people from the original Nintendo consoles working on the Nintendo Minis, right? Than there will be original Intellivision people working on the Intellivision reboot.
Yeah.
But there's something about like, but they've been continuing to do it. So these are people who do this every day, whereas Intellivision's just sort of bringing back people. And I don't know, maybe it'll work great. To me, it's more about how much nostalgia do I need?
Right. And they're over. I mean, it's like anything. It's like, how many Star Wars movies do I need in a year? I'm starting to wonder if I would prefer them a little more spread out. How many Marvel movies do I mean, that you're starting to, you have the what's the thing? Embarrassment of riches kind of problem happening.
Right.
And
fatigue.
And at some point, somebody somewhere is like, oh, I'm going to own every one of these. They're all going to be on shelves. I already have all the originals. This is just going to complete my collection. And I think that's great. I'm stoked for that guy. I don't know if I can be bothered just yet with all that. It's not really going to do it for me. What would happen if Williams came out and said, or whoever owns them now, hey, we're making a desktop tabletop version of Joust with perfect controls. Everything about it will be Joust 100%, no emulation, and we're going to sell that for $200. I would buy that right now.
So they had that mini Tempest machine that company was making that's like a foot tall.
Oh,
that
right.
Features the original Tempest ROMs and just little mini controllers. Would you get one of those that's Joust?
Oh, yes, for sure. In fact, I would have done it with that project had it been Joust. I don't know what it is with Joust and me. Me and Joust go way back. We are the best of friends, and I want to be jousting all day. And what's up with that?
Every day I'm jousting.
I was about to say the same thing. It's not that I am not a nostalgia freak.
Right.
I certainly am. I mean, I've got, you know.
Name anything and Tom can pick it up right now.
Right, he's got one right next to
him. He's got an original Kindle within arm's reach.
Oh my gosh. With the keyboard on it and everything?
Yeah.
Holy shite. How about, okay, well, I'm going to test Bryant Tom here. Let's see. Okay.
Oh, it's not going to work. See, that's you're going to ruin the magic.
This is why it's fun to do this. So I'm going to try to think of a thing that you might have handy. Some kind of comic book. Is that too easy? That's too easy.
Kind of comic book? That's easy.
I'm starting small. You work from the top of the pyramid down.
Which one?
Oh, gosh. Like? Oh, my heck. Look at that. Original Star Wars comics. Oh, I love those. I had those.
These are the giant Marvels.
I had those. I don't have them now.
I also have the famous Superman first edition.
What?
Yes.
What?
Not, it's a reprint.
Okay. How about a... I forgot the name of the animal. I was going to tease him and have him grab that stuffed animal back there. A kangaroo with a kangaroo baby in its pouch.
Oh, that's not mine.
Oh.
Those are gifts for Roger and Sarah.
Oh, I see. All right. Which one does Roger get? The baby one?
No, they both have babies.
Oh, okay.
There's two of them.
Split them up. Give Sarah the mother and give the little one to Roger. I love it. Well, anyway, more on these retro gaming consoles and more coming up later, and lots of other stuff. It sounds like Patrick Norton is your guest today.
Yeah, because Scott's doing a DTNS Labs gaming, our art episode, I should say.
I am. Well, it's going to be an interesting one. What my experience with hacked website, suddenly being faced with what am I going to do, not just from the podcasting side, but what I ultimately did with the art stuff is worthy of story. So I'm going to tell that story and give some recommendations and some reviews and some things to avoid. And I'm very excited about it because I think people are going to be, I don't know. I think it's useful what I'm about to do today. But anyway,
it sounds like it. I think I'll even benefit. That's so arrogant. I think all of us will benefit.
Even Tom will benefit.
No, I think everybody will benefit from. What I meant to say is like, you might think, oh, it's just Scott's story and applies to him. I think we'll all benefit from hearing this kind of story, because it's always a good reminder, like, oh yeah, there's that one thing. Turning on two-factor authentication is something you probably have done, most of you out in the audience. Yeah. If you have it, you should. Yeah. But have you done it for everyone? Because maybe when you turned it on, a particular service didn't have it, and they've added it since, and maybe you didn't even know that.
Yeah.
So stuff like that.
That definitely happens. In fact, yesterday I was getting these emails from Epic Games. I don't play Fortnite that much, but I have a login. And that game is so big that I guarantee everybody's getting hack attempts on their accounts. That's just kind of the way this stuff goes. And I'm getting multiple attempts to try to get into my account. It says someone unsuccessfully tried to do your thing. I swore I had two-factor on there. Nope, I didn't. Went in, took me a second, literally turned it on, because theirs is a text one. It's just default. It wasn't an app or whatever. I went in, set it.
Better than nothing.
Set it and forget it, which feels pretty good now. So now nobody can get in there no matter what happens. Get your two-factor, 2FA, baby. Get it.
Okay.
Tom Merritt, everybody, Ace Detect on Twitter. Oh, anything else you want to mention? How's the book coming?
Oh, yeah,
Patrick
Norton will be on the show talking about earphones and stuff today. So check that out, dailytechnewsshow.com. And don't forget, I'm in the last couple weeks of funding for Trigger, the sequel to Pilot X. If you've been putting off pre-ordering, or if you haven't investigated, or you haven't even heard about it, it's a time travel adventure. And if I get 750 pre-orders, that's all I need, I'll get it published through Inkshares, just like Pilot X. So go check it out, inkshares.com, or tomsnewbook.com. We'll take you right there.
Whoa. Well, I can't wait for my own copy.
That's a great URL.
Yeah, that's awesome.
That was Justin Robert Young created it and just gave it to me.
Aw, like, that's a sweet thing for Justin to do.
Yeah, it was. It was really nice.
Yeah. Did he go, if you think?
No, he didn't. He talked like a normal person and everything.
All right. Well, well done, Justin. You made progress. All right. Have a fantastic day. We'll see you. Your marriage has changed him. You know, you marry a vegan and just things get better.
It just changes you.
It does. All right. Nicole Spag Knoll time.
Yes.
Oh, not the dial pad. Hold on. Come on, Scott. Let's keep it together, buddy.
Not the dial pad.
Not the dial pad. What will that afford us? Nothing. All right. We'll get her in here. We'll see what's up. And we'll play this here theme right here. Oh, Nicole Spagnuolo, all the way from also in Colorado. Hello, Nicole, and welcome back.
Also in Colorado.
Yeah.
Hey, also. Did you hear about the fallout?
Yeah, I did. So what do you think? It's Fallout 76.
Yep.
I assume it's Overwatch's Soldier 76 and his story in the vault. I'm sure that's it.
I'm sure. That's totally it. Totally it.
They have said nothing else, though, Nicole. Here's the problem. I know you don't care. Nicole is in no matter what, okay?
Mm-hmm. I mean, look at... I have, like, Fallout stuff everywhere.
But here's the question for you, okay? Because I'm glad you brought this up, because I know you're a fan, and I have questions about this. So yesterday, all day, they were running this Twitch stream that had 135,000 concurrent viewers at one point. Mm-hmm. That was nothing but a Fallout Boy toy and then a screen back there that said, "Technical difficulties, please stand by." And it was just please. All day. Tease ahoy. Like, what a waste of bandwidth. But anyway, whatever. That was just sitting there all day. They didn't say it until today. They finally came out with this little mini teaser. They don't really say much about it, but there's rampant speculation based on rumors that this is like an online survival game.
Really?
Yeah. Now, if that's true, F that. Okay?
Right. It's PUBG and Battle Royale.
How do you get that from that trailer? I don't know. Well, I got?
What?
I got it was another Fallout... Vault 76 in West Virginia, and we're going to be in... Because we've never seen, like, rural... I can't say rural.
Rural.
The rural juror.
Rural.
No, we haven't. You're right. Never been, other than, you know, deserts and stuff. We really haven't had it.
I would love... It kind of reminds me a little bit of Far Cry 5, right? You know, everybody has bunkers and...
Here's my thinking though. When I say survival game, I don't mean battle royale game. So not like PUBG and stuff. I mean like Rust or DayZ or something.
Yeah, I don't think so.
I hope not. I don't want that. I'm dumb.
You know what? I don't really care at this point. I don't like to speculate. I'm not gonna assume anything. I'm just glad that they're still thinking about Fallout and. Gonna do something.
I hope Brian's right. If it's a battle royale game, I'd be all up in that. Like if it's an online, if they're gonna do something a little different, little side thing. I mean, I'd love a more proper, you know, full RPG or whatever.
Just be like a whole pick up and play kind of thing too.
Yeah.
Didn't he just do an article about it was like not first person, but one player storylines are dying or something like that. I want to say I saw something about that.
Oh, maybe. I mean, there is a lot of talk about single player games, especially in AAA studios, suffering from they're too expensive to make and they don't sell enough of them to make up for how much they cost to make. And there's a lot of turnover and layoffs and stuff. So yeah, there is a lot of that, but also there's a really strong desire for the industry right now to get on board with this battle royale crap. Everybody's doing something. I'm not negative about it because I actually think it's a really fun mode and idea. But really strange games are getting it. Games like Battle Rite are getting a battle royale mode, which is totally weird. That game's basically like a little arena fighter, and now they're getting a 100 enter, one leave sort of scenario. I could see, we know the new Call of Duty Black Ops 4 has that mode. Battlefield's probably got something going on. Like everybody
wants some of that money.
Well, they all want a piece of it. And I'm fine with big gaming trends taking over and moving things forward. It's just I also always want big story driven things. Now Bethesda, like 4 months ago, put out a video saying how important that is to them still. And that they will always do that. That they will always make these big, expansive, single player, narrative driven story games. So they seem to have locked into a commitment on that. But at the same time, them doing a little spinoff with some kind of fun multiplayer angle isn't crazy either. I could see them doing that. So
yeah.
Anyway, we'll see.
And the way I do these kind of reveals, I like log it away and then I forget about it. I don't want to talk about it until something comes out. Like, just make it happen.
Yeah. Yeah. So we'll see. Fallout, Nicole's favorite thing, coming soon.
Really
probably this year, because they don't usually announce stuff unless they plan to release it in the fall. So that'll be interesting.
When was Fallout 4 released?
Same year it got announced, in 2014 or 15. Anyway, they announced it at E3, and it came out that fall, which is... I love that.
Wow.
That's why I'm excited about anything Bethesda announces, early or otherwise, at E3, because, like, Rage 2, which I'm very much stoked about, that'll be probably fall this year. They haven't said, but that's just how Bethesda works. They'd rather deliver quick and not have people hanging on the line for 3 years.
That's what I like about them.
Yeah. Plus, we like Bethesda games, so let's go. Let's do Mecha Recommendals.
Mecha Recommendals.
You know. I'm gonna say it's time. It's time. Brian.
I can wake up now that we're done talking about
Fallout.
Fallout. Okay,
yeah.
Good.
Yeah. Maybe new.
I don't like Fallout.
I don't like Fallout.
Really? What is wrong?
How can
with
you not
you?
Like Fallout?
I just never got into it. Just never. Maybe I didn't give it enough time. But
I was gonna say you didn't give it enough time. You quitter.
You like? Do you not like?
I'm totally taking Far Cry.
I mean, you know my post-apocalyptic.
Oh, I do.
Obsession. Yes. You probably don't share it quite to the level I do. So,
no, I definitely don't.
Yeah.
I
mean, you'll watch Mad Max and enjoy it, but you're not a freak.
Yeah. Easily one of the 50 best movies released a couple years ago.
Easily the best movie of the last 10 years. All right. I still haven't seen anything to beat it. Let's put in Brian's recommendal. Do you have any setup for today's streaming recommendal?
I'm going to tell you that this is a Michael Bay film, but you might be able to figure that out from the music.
Oh, all right. Well, here it is then. It's... where is it? There it is right here.
100 miles.
It's an F-16, 365 days, 24/7. It's a quick response base.
Or bring it in from Sigonella. It's a paddle jam from Italy to here.
It's 20 minutes.
I am not requesting firepower. All I want is that you give these assholes outside our gate a low, loud, f*** you flyover. My authority? My authority is that if you don't send, Americans are going to die. Including the one talking to you right now.
I have no idea what that is.
But I can tell you're laughing at my censorship.
Oh, they were
there.
Intense. They were just so...
They were a little loud. Yeah, sorry.
Your smoke alarm isn't working and the battery's dying and they beep at you like that. That's what it reminds me of. Anyway, is that Pearl Harbor? Is that what
it
we heard?
It is not Pearl Harbor. Okay. This is actually more of a biographical war. Well, take that back. Pearl Harbor was definitely a biographical war film, but a more recent, like, rip from today's headlinesy kind of thing.
13 hours.
It is 13 hours. Okay, exactly what it is. Yes. 13 hours, The Secret Soldiers of Benghazi, or just 13 hours, came out a couple years ago. Michael Bay film starring The Office's John Krasinski. Yep. Which I think we should start calling him, you know, A Quiet Place is John Krasinski, because ever since he got that beard, he is not Jim from The Office anymore.
No, he's badass. He's all buffed up and everything. He's great.
Total badass. Yeah. Like, he is going to be the next Jack Ryan, right? Is that the deal?
TV version of Jack Ryan.
But it was.
It's not. No. There's no. So the movie Jack Ryans are still Chris Pine. There's an Amazon original series called, I don't know what it's called, probably Jack Ryan, but. Where he's a TV version of Jack Ryan. So they have it's a series is what he's doing.
Gotcha. Yeah. Okay.
Which
anyway,
is more interesting to me, by the way, than another movie. I would like to see what a series like that looks like.
Me too, for sure.
Say what?
Streaming. Where is it streaming?
The movie, you mean. Sorry.
My thing, 13 hours. It's streaming on Amazon. Mm-hmm. Basically is, talks about the attack on the U.S. Strongholds in Benghazi Libya, Benghazi, Libya.
Yeah.
And the whole thing about, you know, them protecting this thing and having to go to this other station that thought they were well protected, but they weren't, and protect this U.S. ambassador that was out there. Really, really well done. John Krasinski is probably the best known actor in this thing. James Badge Dale is in it. David Giantoli, Max Martini, Pablo Schreiber. But come on, you know Jim from The Office. Really, really good and very objective, or very even-handed when it comes to any sort of political talk.
Boy, the chat room sure disagrees with you because.
Oh, really?
Propaganda film. Someone else says they show it on Fox News 24/7. I mean, obviously, there's a...
there's mention of kind of the disregarding that our administration
said, you know, well, we're, you know, we don't think there's going to be an attack or whatever, or ignoring the warning signs that there was going to be an attack. But really, the film focuses on this team of six guys who were absolutely instrumental in protecting this this outpost, this CIA outpost. I found it really compelling, and
I like really me some John, some Michael Bay that isn't Transformers.
Transformers,
you know?
Yeah,
exactly. Like once in a while, he'll pop one out, and you'll go, "Oh yeah, that's right." You kind of make things I dig on in some ways, right. And then other times you're like, "No, nah, freaking Transformers, stop it."
I enjoyed it a lot, and you know my political leanings, so
yeah. Well, no, look,
I didn't feel like it was at all. Maybe, you know, touched on at the beginning, touched on at the end. That's it.
Okay. Well, I want to see it. Does John Krasinski shoot into a window, miss something, and then look at the camera for a second?
He breaks the fourth wall, looks at the camera, yeah. Shrugs his shoulders, and then, you know, there's googly-eyed at Pam across the lobby.
Puts a stapler in a jello mold, yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. So it is, it's streaming on Amazon Prime, and I think it's really good. I think it's worth checking out.
All right. Well, there you go. 13 hours, Amazon Prime. Here's mine. Let's see if you guys can figure it out. Weird little surprise of my week. Here you go.
Pull the trigger, dispense the nail, and whack it in one hand.
What you're telling me is goodbye, conventional hammer?
Goodbye, conventional life.
Hello, nail hammer.
Oh! Ran out of gas.
You only ever get a little bit of gas at a time.
Hey, you noticed, huh? I like to come by and see you.
I like seeing you as well.
I was hoping to save up to take you to dinner someplace nice.
I would love that.
Get whatever you want, by the way. This one's on me. I've been thinking about this ever since I first got gas at your place.
You must be so excited about all your shows.
Do you mean to tell me, with no money down, I can buy a house?
The pennies on the dollar!
Okay. Any ideas?
Why does everything you play sound like it's got Kristen Bell and Joe Pesci in it?
I don't know.
I always think those are the two voices I'm hearing, but I don't think those were the two voices that you played.
It's actually
or a movie.
It's a movie. I'll give you the hint. The hint is you probably never even heard of this because it kind of came and went and nobody heard of it, but it's got an Office connection, funny enough. It's got Ed Helms in it.
Oh, really?
So that's okay. Who that was talking. And Amanda Seyfried, who I find incredibly compelling. Everything she does fascinates
me.
She
was great on Big Love.
Wow. Yeah. She's really interesting.
Compelling is the key word for today, by the way.
Yeah.
Compelling, yes.
It's called
Your recommendal better be compelling, Nicole.
Yeah.
No, it's not.
Oh, darn it. It's called The Clapper.
The Clapper.
And it's not about the clap on, clap off. It's not that. But it is have some connection to that because the deal with Ed Helms is he now lives in L.A. He used to be this sort of Midwestern dude or lived back east and moved out to L.A. to try to find himself and ended up getting a bunch of jobs working for these audiences that are doing infomercials. So he'll show up in an infomercial with a fake mustache and a hat and stand up and go, are you telling me that if I sell my house now, blah, 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 and then, you know, the guy will go, that's right, on, you know, pennies on the dollar, like you heard on the thing. That's his job. So that's all he does. And the way the story works is, the overarching story is that some late night show, kind of Jimmy Kimmel style show, that's fake, discovers that, hey, there's the same guy in all these commercials. Weird. We should track this guy down. So he becomes this like viral sensation on Twitter and Instagram and all over the internet. But he doesn't want any of that. He just wants to have his job because if you recognize him, then he doesn't get hired because you only get hired because you look like you're a real person in the audience.
Every man. Right, exactly.
So he has a big struggle with that. That's interesting and funny. Seyfried, where she comes in, she's this gas station attendant who he kind of falls for, or she falls for him. And it's a cute little romancy thing there. And that all gets roped up into the main story. Now, I'm going to say right out loud here, there are a few other people that I should mention. Tracy Morgan's in it, and he's very funny, as he always is. For some reason, Adam Levine is in it. There's Alan Thicke is in it. This is before he died.
This is his last role, apparently.
It may be, yeah. I thought his time, it was a small role, but it made me laugh. Mark Cuban is in this, of all people, the billionaire guy, Mark Cuban.
Yeah, Shark.
Yep, Shark Tank guy, yeah. And so what's the point? My point is that it's, okay, I know what I was going to say. So there are some really nice parts of this movie. Like parts of it made me just smile and I thought it was cute and I'm not really even one for this sort of stuff, but it's quirky in a kind of independent film kind of way. it's not really that good. Like the overall is not that great. Like the contrived, the fake talk show is kind of contrived. The all that stuff feels a little false.
Sure.
But the relationship stuff's really good. The friendship with Tracy Morgan's character, his relationship with her is genuine. It's super sweet. So I'm torn on it because on the one hand, I really liked them and how they portrayed all of that. But the main plot is just kind of, I don't know, it feels half-baked and like they didn't pull it off.
It's got a great cast from the look of it.
Yeah.
But yeah, 30% on Rotten Tomatoes. 21 out of 100 on Metacritic.
Yeah, 5.1 on IMDb.
But not a lot of reviews, so it's, you know.
Sure.
Just kind of.
It also sounds like one of those movies where it's kind of just nice to have. It's you don't have to think a lot.
Comfort food.
Yeah.
A little bit, yeah. And I don't even like Ed Helms normally. He kind of drives me crazy, to be honest. Like most of his movies and TV roles. I couldn't stand him on The Office. I had to quit after when he got in charge.
Really? Wow.
I just, it's nothing personal. I just, something about him. I guess it is personal because there's something about him that drives me up a wall. But I didn't find that here. Like I found his character really sweet and kind, and I don't know, it was interesting. But these scores are reflective of yes, it's got problems, it's got major plot issues, it's got kind of some pacing issues. But if you're looking for just kind of a sweet little relationshipy film that isn't quite your normal rom com, I liked it on that level.
Where's it streaming?
Let's see. Where did I see Netflix. This? At Netflix, yeah. Netflix. Yeah.
Okay, cool.
So there's mine.
I'll add it to a list. I work while you're talking, by the way. Like, okay, let's find. Where's this movie at?
Yeah. And I think you, Nicole, I'll bet you like it.
I bet you I would.
Yeah. It seems like a thing.
It feels like it would be a good thing to have on in the background while you're doing, you know, while you're cooking. You can hear it, and then you look over every once in a while. Oh, cute. You know, but not sit down, close the iPad, pay full attention, focused on the screen kind of thing.
Yeah. And I don't know, I never heard of it. Like, it came and went. I don't know if it ever got full distribution or not. As far as I know, it didn't. But it's a nice reminder why, I don't know, Amanda Seyfried's so awesome. I love her. All right, Nicole, lay it on us.
Well, I have a movie that I watched in Las Vegas with Mark. We were so tired and we decided to stay in and watch a movie. And this one,
Wait a minute. He said he wasn't there. You said he wasn't there in Las Vegas. Was he hiding out in the hotel room the whole time we were doing our thing out there?
It was a woodworking convention while back, I think last year.
I love the idea that the TMS Vegas meetup, Mark was there, but just never surfaced.
Just never left the hotel room.
Yeah, I love that idea for some reason. Just, you know, we're making wood. He's just in there whittling, just quietly whittling.
Brought a lathe. Yeah.
Anyway, sorry. Go ahead.
I have been waiting for this movie to come out streaming because it was very funny. I really liked it. I hadn't even heard of it. So I'm going to play you a clip.
All right.
And then we'll talk about it. Right. But it is streaming on Amazon Prime. And where's my clip? I'm trying to stall. There we go.
Yeah.
All right. Here we go.
Okay.
What are you doing?
I'm about to pay you back.
What? Oh, God. Oh, whoa, 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 whoa. No, stop, stop. Please stop.
Isn't this what you want?
No. Oh, God, no. button up. Just put that away.
You're not attracted to me?
No.
Really?
Not at all. No, I'm attracted to, like, really good-looking guys. Guys with, like, great faces and great bodies who are muscular and handsome and younger, much younger than you. And tall, a lot taller. But that's just me.
What is this? I have no idea.
Again, sounds just like Kristen Bell to me.
That was Kristen Bell.
Oh, it was? What is it?
Okay, so this movie is called How to Be a Latin Lover.
Oh, my Lord.
Okay. And it stars, and I'm going to butcher his name. So Selma Hayek, I can pronounce her, Rob Lowe, and Eugenio Derbez.
It looks like Eugenio Derbez.
He's in the new Overboard movie, the reboot of Overboard.
Oh,
yeah.
So he's in that. And he's the Latin lover. And it's such a funny movie. I had a number of just laugh out loud moments of it. So
Rob Lowe's in this?
Yes,
Eugenio Derbez.
Oh,
wow. Look at all the other, man, today is like a, who used to be on The Daily Show? This has Rob Riggle, Rob Corddry. Oh,
yeah, he plays Rob Corddry. So the whole premise is, how do you say his name? Eugenio?
Yeah, it says Eugenio Derbez.
Eugenio. So he, you know, is just a sexy guy. You first see him and he's really young and he's wooing the older women. Oh, Michael Cera's in this too, by the way.
Oh, good.
Oh,
of course he is.
Yeah.
And so he's gotten older and, his lady decides to, kind of kick him out or whatever. And it's kind of his journey and trying to find himself. And and he was talking to Kristen Bell because she's helping him out and he's trying to pay her back in that scene. And she's like, no, don't dance for me.
It's also a 2017 joint. I never even heard of this. I swear there's a lot of movies that are just coming out that no one.
Oh, but directed by Ken Marino, who was awesome on Party Down. And we totally know Ken Marino. He's like the real cheeseball dude on Party Down, who was kind of in the first season. He's the manager of the
the Kids in the Hall guy, or not Kids in the Hall, the old MTV comedy thing where he used to work
with the
State? Yes, the State. He was on, it was the Kids in the Hall.
Shit. No, he wasn't on the Kids in the Hall. Definitely the State.
It was the State. Okay, yeah, State. I like that guy a lot. He's great.
Eugenio was also in another movie called Instructions Not Included that I have been meaning to watch because I hear I've had a number of people say you should watch it. It's a good movie. Mm. I just haven't had a chance to watch it, but I really like him as an actor. So this was really my first introduction to him as an actor. Mm. And he's the reason why I want to watch the new Overboard, though I heard it's not so great. But I still want to watch it.
What a shock that the new Overboard might not be great. This is a mind-blowing...
Boy, you look at Eugenio Derbez films, and the movie poster is always it's always him standing in front of like a glowing yellow background. Is it the same thing with, I got to see if it's the same thing
there's a red background in one of them.
Oh, okay. Well, there's that then.
Oh, Anna Faris I like her though.
Yeah, I like her.
Yeah, that's too bad. So who plays Overboard, the one
Kurt Russell.
It was the Goldie Hawn, right?
Goldie Hawn.
Who was the
original?
Who was it? Martin Short was in it. Do I have that wrong?
What? No, you're thinking of Captain Ron, maybe.
I'm thinking of Captain Ron. That's it. Never mind. It's Captain Ron. Thank you. No,
that's not Captain.
Martin Short, Kurt Russell. I knew Kurt Russell was in there someplace. That's what it is. I've conflated those two films. As far as I know, they're the same ones. I'm actually not sure what Overboard is.
Might as well be the same ones. Yeah, yes, exactly.
What a weird thing to remake. But all right. Well, anyway, so where this is where? Netflix?
This is on Amazon Prime.
Oh.
So you can watch it on Amazon Prime right now.
Excellent.
And it looks like the other movie that I do want to watch, the instructions not included, it says we can watch it on Pantera.
Pantera? We're going to watch it on Pantera?
Pantera, sweet.
But there's a 7-day trial. You can watch instructions not included. I thought that was on Netflix, too. So I really enjoy him as an actor. So I'm going to start exploring some of his other movies.
From the movie poster for Instructions Not Included, it looks like he's playing Zach Braff.
It does, right?
It totally does. By the way, the chat room's so nice to me. Listen to this little take by Jay Calhoun. Scott's thought process is like one of those family circus cartoons with Billy running through town.
The dotted lines everywhere, yes.
I'm not except that scatterbrain.
Except it's a post-apocalyptic town that Billy's running through.
Yeah, it's a town that's barely, they don't even have water there in that town.
Pops in Recline is saying what I'm thinking every time I say instructions not included. I think of the movie Batteries Not Included.
Oh, right. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was... That was a Spielberg produced thing. I know this one that had those two old people in it. Hume Cronin and Jessica Tandy. And they had the little flying robot deals. And that's all I remember.
That's funny. Total honesty here. When you said instructions not included, I was thinking about Safety Not Guaranteed.
Oh,
how many many movies can we get to connect to this one movie?
No kidding. Probably, that all sound like that one.
Probably a whole bunch. Well, that's fantastic. These are all good. Amazon Prime all up in it for two of these, and Netflix for mine. Nicole always posts about these on Twitter, so you can follow her at Nicole Spag, and she will give you more than you bargained for.
What was that movie?
Into the Breach, something like that. I don't know. It's Nicole Spag, everybody. Nicole Spag on Twitter. Nicole, thanks for hanging out with us. And I, you know, there's late breaking news. Apparently, somebody with knowledge says that the Fallout Soldier 76 thing, or sorry, Fallout 76 might include or likely includes base building. So technically, Fallout 4 did as well.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
I don't know if this means something else and if it's a multiplayer focused thing.
I want like a Warcraft, not World of Warcraft, but like a Warcraft style game with Fallout world. Now I'm in. Now you're in.
Okay. I don't think it'll be that though. I don't think it's that kind of base building.
Screw it.
I'm guessing it's first person, just like usual, and you go around and build stuff. So it is like Rust. It's basically like Rust. All right, Nicole, take it easy. We'll talk to you later. Brian.
Yes.
We've come to the end of another broadcast day.
Have we though? Have we, Scott?
Well, not really, because I have other shows later, but. And so do you. You have Coverville today. I have Core tonight. Core is happening tonight, 7 o'clock. Be here for that if you guys want to hear that. Frogpants.showbot.tv is where you live folks can go right now, vote on today's title for the show. We'd love it if you did. And a reminder that patreon.com/TMS is the place you can go to help support the show. Every little bit helps, so please do. patreon.com/TMS. And for all other info and details and connections and emails and blah, 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 go to frogpants.com/TMS. Okay, let's get out of here. Brian, music, please.
Yes, sir. How about a song going out to a guy for his birthday? Jeremy Wakel from Kansas City says, "Hello, Mr. I and Mr. J. Today's my birthday. I'll be turning 37. Nothing to write home about, but I would like to request Bills, Bills, Bills performed by They Might Be Giants. Love the show. Enjoy the magic of the movies. Thanks. Jeremy from Kansas City."
Nice.
I don't understand the reference there, but
I have no idea.
Unless he's one of those people that emailed us with MoviePass free trial offers. I don't know if you got. I mean, I know you got some of those.
Yeah.
But a lot of people who are MoviePass users sent us links to try MoviePass for free.
I did see that, and I didn't use any of them. I feel bad because I got them after I signed up. So,
you signed up? Okay. Yeah. Well, I will sign up and I'll use one of those people's links, and that way they'll be happy.
We haven't actually used it yet. So we saw Solo yesterday without it because Kim got confused about what special passes meant.
Oh.
And yesterday was just $5 Tuesday, but they still accept it. That's not it's a long story, but we'll use it soon.
Send him a photo of the movie ticket and get reimbursed for it, maybe.
Oh, I didn't think about that. I think they do
you
that.
You might be able to do that. Yeah. I think so.
I'd like to think
somebody who knows more about it than I do certainly can correct me on that if that's not the case. So Bills, Bills, Bills. This is a song that They Might Be Giants covered for the AV Undercover Big Circular Room, which is kind of a little subsidiary thing of The Onion, but it's kind of the serious, well, not serious, but the non-satire part of The Onion. AV Undercover. AV Club. This was such a cool thing. They covered Destiny's Child's Bills, 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 Bills. We're going to play it for you right now. Here's They Might Be Giants.
All right. We'll play it. We'll see you guys. What's today? Thursday. Or tomorrow's Thursday. We'll see you tomorrow.
Yes.
So come back tomorrow, everybody. We'll see you then.
At first we started out real cool. Some money from me until you get your check next week. You trifling,
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
Yeah, I'm sorry, baby.
Yeah, baby.